Joshua 23. A lot of stuff in here, but we're coming to the end of the book of Joshua. And as we do that, the land has been secured, right? They've conquered the land. It's been divided. Even they have divided some of the, I think it was seven more portions that were not yet conquered, but they've already been assigned to the right tribe. And it says in verse number, let's start in verse 1, chapter 23. It came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and their judges, their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations, three words, because of you. Isn't that incredible? I just have no idea. I really can't even imagine all that God does for us. What He has, all the pieces that He has to shift around because His interest in us. But He does. And, you know, I've got testimonies of things that have happened, you know, in a short period of time because God was getting my attention, but it affected many people. And God was reaching to me. I don't know who else He was reaching. But because of those events, it set me on the right course. And that's what God says here. Joshua says, God has done all of this because of you. And we think of the whole world, all the people that are in the world, and yet you and I have a privilege as children of God to pray and reach the ears of the Almighty. Isn't that incredible? That God Himself can not only hear you pray, but He can hear me pray at the same time. And He can answer your prayer and my prayer at the same time. And, you know, I think of Sister Nancy Bird. When we were living in Orlando, she was three doors down from us, and I was praying for rain, but her situation was different. She was praying that it wouldn't rain. I got it. She didn't. Three doors down. Now, I know the clouds got to stop somewhere, but isn't that incredible that God could give both of us what we desired? And that's how He works. He can hear all of us and answer all of us because of you. There are lots of times in the Bible where God did something because of Abraham. He said, look, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this because of Abraham. I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing this because of David. But here, particularly, and in our lives, God does it because of us. And He does great, wonderful things. And He says, and you've seen it. There's no argument. There's no debate. There's no question. You saw these things happen. Now, these are people that survived and did not see the events in Egypt. These are people who saw the events in the wilderness. These people saw the water come from the rock. They saw Jordan part. They didn't see the Red Sea part, but they saw Jordan part. You know, they see the conquering. They see them march around Jericho and the walls fall down. God did that. And so they know the voice of God, the presence of God. They know the manna, all of these things. They know it. They have experienced it. Don't let somebody talk you out of your experience with God. You know, I know that there are some things that people have a conflict with, but when somebody comes to me with a testimony, and that's their testimony, who am I to question that? If that was their experience with God. Now look, if it goes against the Bible, obviously, God's not going to do that. But as long as it's in line with God's Word and God's way, even if it's not my experience, why would I question their experience? And I've seen a lot of that. Anyway, the Lord your God, verse 3, is He that fought for you. Y'all didn't knock those walls down. It wasn't the rumbling of your feet or the sound of the shout. God brought the walls of Jericho down. God fought for you. Verse number 5, and the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you. This is those seven that still haven't been chased out. And drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. So Does it take courage to serve God? It does. And you say, well, in our world it does. Sure it does. But it did in their world too. There were other influences, other gods, idols, religions. And so they had to be courageous and push away. And if somebody came to them and tried to promote some other religion, some other god, they could push it away. They stay with God. Be courageous. Be courageous and follow God's will. You know, the issue sometimes would be that it was their family that did wrong. Anybody in here ever had family that did wrong? Right? So it comes before the church. And I've seen churches break up over this. Somebody in the church does wrong. They won't repent. The church excludes them because, you know, I mean, you sinned and you won't repent of it. Then you're excluded. And so who should it be to bring the charges? Should be the family. But the family gets mad and they all go to another church to start another church, right? And that's the kind of trouble that we run into. And so Joshua says, be very courageous to follow God. Do His word. Do His will. Don't back down. Don't cower. Don't quit. And he says in verse 6, continuing, and turn that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Can you be too extreme on either end? You can. How many of you ever belonged to a church, went to a church, heard a preacher, or knew a Christian that was too extreme? Right? Yeah, they are. Now, I believe in extreme Christianity. What I don't believe in is extreme legalism. There's one way to God. There's one way to heaven. And He is Jesus. And so when we try to tack all these other things on there, I mentioned a minute ago about being excluded from the church. You're still saved. Just because the church puts you out doesn't take away your salvation. And it is a biblical direction that we should do those things because people need to wake up and get right. And if we just accept it and embrace it and don't throw up any red flags and don't have any discussion about it, then they say, well, it must not be a bad thing. It must not be wrong. And so, yeah, what was wrong is now considered right. And the Bible warns us about that too, doesn't it? Those that call good evil and evil good. And so he says, turn not to the right hand or to the left. What happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Nothing. They went too far to the right, didn't they? They went too far to the right. They started tacking on. So God gave us 10 commandments. Jesus brings it all down into one. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and their neighbor as yourself, right? He says that's what the commandments are all about. One law. The Pharisees and the Sadducees micromanaged that. They say, well, you can't walk more than a mile in a day. You're honoring the Sabbath, right? You're honoring the Sabbath. You can't walk more than a mile on Sabbath. And so they micromanaged and made all these rules. And by the way, there was a time in my life as a Christian and as a pastor, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if we just had it all nailed down into those little details. The Pharisees did have it. They even had the tithe and the mint, you know, the tithe of the mint. Every little thing, you had to give a tenth, right? A tenth. He said, y'all swallow camels and choke on gnats. He said, y'all let the big things go and the little things kill you. And how many of us are that way or have been that way or know somebody that's that way? It's a reality. But Joshua says, don't go to the right hand or to the left. It's incredible what we as Christians have now accepted. We ignored it. And the next generation accepted it. And the next generation does what? Celebrates it. That's the way it works. And how far we've come. Verse 7. That you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods. Don't even say the word. Isn't that incredible? That's very particular. Don't even say the name, nor cause to swear by them. You know, being that we have become so multicultural and diverse in our country, we might have a real sense that everybody ought to swear on the Bible when they go to court, right? We say, well, you got to put your hand on the Bible and swear. But you know, somebody doesn't believe the Bible, that doesn't matter to them. That doesn't matter to them if you swear, take an oath. And so do we get their holy book and say, okay, you swear on your holy book. You know what God said? Don't even mention it. It's not acceptable. Don't embrace it. Don't even give them the idea that it's legitimate. Don't mention the name. Don't cause to swear by them, neither to serve them, neither bow yourselves unto them. Again, I tell this story because it's so offensive to me. Is I had a friend, an associate, let's say. We traveled to another country, and he was from that country. But here in America, he was in a church, and he was saved and baptized. And, man, they would get up every morning. They had a brotherhood prayer breakfast every morning, 4 o'clock. They would get up and have a devotion and pray together. They met as a group every day of the week. And we traveled out of the country, and just in the tour, oh, I need to show you this. It's very important in our country. And we went to a Buddhist temple. And then he said to my boss, give some money. Give some money. They'll pray for us. They're Buddhist. I mean, why? What do you mean they'll pray for us? You know God. You know God by name. You know His Son. You get them to pray. Well, you know, anybody to pray is good. No, I don't want your positive thoughts or energy. I want your prayer. And that's, you know, we've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop playing into that. But he said, don't bow yourselves to them. And here's this guy giving an offering to the Buddhist temple. Verse 8, cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done to this day. And I like that. He said, guys, I'm not telling you anything you're not doing. But I'm telling you, you need to lock on. And you need to continue what you're doing. Isn't it good every once in a while just to get some affirmation that, hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I look at our church, as I think about our church, I think, you know, we've got a great church. And people tell me that all the time, we've got a great church. But sometimes, and you say, well, preacher, why are you preaching so hard about all that stuff? Is somebody in here you're aiming at? Well, it might be you. No, I'm not aiming at anybody, but we got to preach what the Bible says. And that means we preach all the Bible. And so if that doesn't affect you, then that's good. Okay, well, it's not talking to me. He's not talking to me. I don't know how you are. I'm the type that when somebody's doing that, I can sit there and think, why is he saying that to me? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? You know, that's what Sister Gladys always say. Oh, you preach right at me. I'm sure. I'm sure. But those are the kind of things that when we're listening to it, Joshua says, now look, you're doing all the right things, guys. Just keep doing the right thing. Stay on track. And it doesn't hurt us to tell our kids that either, does it? Hey, you're doing a good job. Keep doing it. Or our employees or anybody we have influence with. Verse 9, the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. I mean, y'all know who you are. You know there were giants in this land. You know there were fenced cities and strongholds. And yet every time God has given you the victory. And no one's been able to stand before you. But it's God that fought for you, right? Verse 10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was up against 1,000, I'd be afraid. But Joshua says, don't be afraid. You by yourself, one shall chase 1,000. Why? Because God's the one doing the fighting. God's the one that's in charge. Verse 11, take good heed, therefore, to yourselves. You know why I'm so happy? Somebody tell me why I'm so happy. Okay, that's true. If my kids were in here, they'd know the answer. Because I know how to mind my own business. I tell my kids that all the time. There'll be two of them squabbling and a third one jump in. I say, mind your business. I'll be trying to parent one of them and one of the other kids will jump in. Help me parent. Mind your own business. Okay, look at what he says. Take good heed to who? To yourself. You mind yourself. Mind your own business. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves. Now, I know he's talking about all of them, but you know what to make a country great? If each of us got right. You know what to make a family great? If each of us got right. Make a church great? If each of us got right. You know what makes a business work or a football team work? When each person does their job well. Instead of trying to tell everybody else how to do their job, whose job is that? That's the coach's job to tell them what to do. But you take good heed to yourselves. Love the Lord your God. The number one relationship in all of this is not the one you have with Joshua, not the one you have with your neighbor, but the one you have with God. That's the number one relationship. Love the Lord your God. Take heed to love the Lord your God. Verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. What? Verse 12, he says, if you in any wise go back. If you backslide, God will turn. If you backslide, God will take up their cause. If you backslide, God will take away everything he's given you. Isn't that incredible? I was thinking about the Bible the other day and started at the beginning. And you know what I realized that the lesson of Adam and Eve is? The lesson is simply this. One mistake can cost you everything. Just one. He said, here's your, I've planted it all. It's all yours. Eat of it. Dress it. Keep it. But there's just one tree I want you to stay away from. One sin can cost us everything. And we could name examples that we'd all be familiar with. But just go to Adam and Eve and there it is. One sin. One failure can cost us everything. And so he says, if you do, God will take it all back. Verse 14, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua's saying, I'm dying. And you know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing has failed thereof. God gave you everything he said he was going to give you. You ever wonder about God's promises? As we look at God's word and we understand which promises are directly for us, you know, he hadn't failed. He hasn't failed. But it is an agreement. It's an agreement. God blesses us. But if we're not going to be a conduit of blessing, in other words, a funnel where God blesses us and we bless others, if we're just going to be a bucket and catch all those blessings and keep it to ourselves, God will turn the spigot off. God will not continue to bless us if we get greedy and selfish. We've got to be continually flowing those blessings forward. You know, and that's what ministry, even salvation is when we receive it, we're supposed to be passing along that message to others, that love to others, so that they'll be saved. Verse number, let's go to chapter 24. And there's a lot in here, a lot of reading. But Joshua gathers again all the leaders, and he reminds them of God's providence in their lives. And he goes beyond Abraham. He goes all the way back to where this all started with Abraham, to Abraham's father. He says, look, Abraham's dad was not a believer. Abraham didn't come from, he didn't go to church every Sunday and Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. He got his faith because of his search, not because his father pushed it on him. His father was not a believer in God. His father worshiped other gods. Where did he live? Which is known in further times as what? What nation? Babylon. In that region, well, it's Iraq now, but Babylon. And we look at that land and Babylon and how it was very much not a godly nation, not a godly people. And so Abraham's father just worshiping like all the other ones. But somehow Abraham believed there was something else. He believed in a God that he wasn't taught about. And he searched for that God, and God said, I'm going to bring you to a land that I'm going to show you. You're on a search. Come search for this land. He said, every place you walk, it belongs to you. And it started with Abraham. And then, of course, it carries on in verse 4 to Isaac, Jacob, Esau. Of course, he says, I gave Esau Mount Seir. Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, of course, through Joseph. Verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. Verse 7, when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. He covered them. Your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. I brought you to the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. They fought with you. I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. And he keeps listing all these different countries. Verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And so he's going all the way back to Abraham's beginnings. Those gods. Down in Egypt, those gods. He said, get it out of your life. Get their influence out of your life. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a decision. It was a choice. It was a choice, look at the term he uses here, to serve the Lord. Not just to believe, to serve him. What we did yesterday, did it please God? What we did Friday, did it please God? What we're doing today, does it please God? Does it serve him? Does it somehow bless him? That's the question. He said, now look, you don't have to. You do what you want to do. But I can tell you what I'm going to do. And that's where we are. That's where we have to be. We have to make our choice, and we have to let everybody know that's our choice. And that's what we're going to do. We said the other night, you know, when God's people backslide, when God's people don't live for God, the world sees that. And it causes the truth to be evil spoken of, the Bible says. So they criticize the church. And when they criticize the church, what's next? They criticize God. And when they criticize God, what's next? There is no God. That's the progression. The little boy that we brought to Sunday school and church along the way, you know, anytime he wanted to come. Ben came in yesterday and said, Dad, we need to pray for him. That he doesn't believe in God anymore. Little boy, impressionable. So his mama told him, there's no God, it's just energy. And here's the thing. It's one thing for her if she wants to go to hell, and she's taking her little boy with her. I don't know any parent that would do that. But she's, you know, what happened? Well, I'm sure we could, if we could track it back, we'd go to her parents. And there was probably, well, I'm not going to drag my kids to church if they don't want to go. And that's what happens. The progression is that. We start to slide back and get away further and further and further. And we're coming to a time. And by the way, I know people are getting saved. People are coming to God. And we're seeing the growth, and we're seeing people, you know, turn their lives around for God. But there's so many that are not, that's gotten us in the mess we're in. So that we're not just dismissing God, there's a work against God. You know, why is it that you care if I worship a God you don't even believe exists? How does that hurt you? But that's where we are in our country. There's a battle against Christianity and against God. Antichrist. Verse 17. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. So now that's their response to Joshua. Joshua says, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all do what you want to. Oh, no, we're going to serve God too. We know His works. We know His power. We know His might. We know what He's accomplished. We know His blessings. We're going to serve God too. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. He says, guys, y'all don't understand. Y'all think this is just a go to church on Sunday thing. He says, that's not what this is. He says, you got to be all in. You say you want to serve God, but as soon as you walk out the church door, you're gossiping and all the other sins. As soon as you walk out of church, you're thinking of how you can cheat somebody or mistreat somebody, holding anger and hatred in your heart. He says, you don't understand, guys. You say you're going to serve God, but y'all don't really mean that. Because if you're really going to serve God, you got to go home and clean out your cabinets. If you're really going to serve God, you got to go home and clean out your closets. If you're really going to serve God, you got to clean out your car. You got stuff in every part of your life that dishonors God, and you say you're going to serve Him. He says, y'all just don't get it. Because God is real. God's jealous. God will consume you, even after He has done you good. You know, we get this idea, well, God, Jesus died for me, and my sins are washed away, and so I'm good now. Yeah, as long as we walk with God. God wants what's best for us. But He's not going to continue to, what's that word we use? Enable? He's not going to fund our sinful way of life. People said to Joshua, verse 21, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you're witnesses against yourselves. You have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. They said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. You know, and I know, this is the reality. I know that a little stone Buddha in the garden is nothing. It's just stone. It's just formed concrete or just carved stone, whatever. I get it. But it's an idol. So he said, but it's just a decoration. It's an idol. And so when we put that in our garden, people say, oh, well, this is someone who's, you know, Buddhist. You go, oh, no, I'm a Christian. That's just a decoration in the yard. You know what Joshua said? Okay, you're witnesses. You said you're going to follow God. Get that out of your garden. Get that out of your yard. Now, I don't know if anybody in here has a Buddha in their garden, but if you do, just know I didn't see it. So go ahead and get rid of it now. It's amazing to me that people will do things that they know is wrong by their faith, by their testimony. They trust God and they know, but they continue to do things that are wrong. Then the preacher shows up and all of a sudden they get convicted about it. Don't get convicted when the preacher shows up. Get convicted now. Because you're worried it's going to offend me. I'm nobody. On that day, when you're in heaven standing before the throne, I'm not going to be sitting on it. Put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said, verse 24, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey. Verse 31, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Verse 29 tells us Joshua died being 110 years old. The people continued to live for God for that period of time. Because they related Joshua to God. You know, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but people do look at a pastor and they have that sense. That's why they get convicted when the preacher shows up. Because they have this, you know, the pastor represents God to the people. Not as Moses did. I'm not saying that to that extreme. But leadership, we have someone tangible, someone we can look at, someone we can talk to and listen to, and we'll follow God as long as they're there. But when a pastor leaves or a pastor dies, we see what happens to churches. Well, that pastor left, and all of a sudden, and I know, you know, sometimes a new pastor comes along, and they change the music, and they change the preaching styles different, or the characters different or whatever. I get that part. Guys, we don't go to church for the preacher. We go to church to serve God. And that's why we got to make sure we get the right preacher. Not now. I mean, don't go shopping. If I see the ad in the Democrat, I'm going to know. Guys, but it's important. Not just for us. It wasn't just the adults that served God under the leadership of Joshua. It was their children and their grandchildren. Because they had come to relate that man to God. Not just Joshua, but all those on the stage next to him. The elders, the leaders, the deacons, if you will. You say, well, as long as he's alive, I'm gonna walk right. And then when all those guys died, then we start finding some more trouble for Israel. Anything else before we take a break? Let's take a break.